And through that test, this whole assumption came up. Because they said, if we had anything to do with this business, with this affair, those people would not have been killed. Thus, this whole assumption surfaced from their heart to their lips.
Another ayah, في سورة الفتح الظالمين بالله ضمن السوء عليهم دائرة السوء. Those who have the wrong assumption about Allah, for them is this great torment. Ibn Qayyim said regarding this first verse, can you read to us what he said?
Regarding the first verse, the thought of ignorance is explained to me that Allah is the judge, and that helps the messenger to tell the Allah of the Muslims, and his mission will soon fade away.
So this is the first wrong assumption. They think that Allah is not going to help the messenger, and the religion will die out.
It is also explained in meaning that the afflictions he suffered were not due to divine intervention from Allah and his wisdom.
Also, they think that the reason for which the believers suffered what they suffered is not due to the wisdom of Allah. And this is a wrong assumption. Whatever calamity befall us, we have to attribute it to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we do not say, as many ignorant people say, well, I do not deserve it. Well, why is it me? All of that is manifestation of the wrong assumption, the ill assumption that people have in their hearts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for you who is studying Tawheed, you have to be rest assured that whatever before you is due to the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is for your own benefit if you embrace that calamity with patience. But if you do not embrace that calamity with patience, but you embrace it with irritation, rejection, that will be bringing to you, will be bringing from your heart the evil that is contained from in your heart. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those, when they are received the test, they accept the bala' from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It is therefore explained as the denial of wisdom is decreed in denial of commission of the messenger from Allah by the Muslims will be completed and that it will prevail over all the religion. These were the evil thoughts in the minds of the Nasir Kuhn and Mushi Kuhn, which are mentioned in short respect as Kuhn's evil thoughts. The evil thoughts are against what is fitting the most perfect. Neither do they fit with wisdom, praiseworthiness, nor is true promise. Any person who thinks that the falsehood, the thought, knowledge, and the scripture will prevail over the truth, the common unfeeling, the seemingly, and it would cause truth to vanish, or will deny that things are perfect to a large business and decree. All who deny and override wisdom deny the decree that is deserving of praise and thanks, and think that such is due to an arbitrary, purposeless will. These are the thoughts of those who disbelieve, those who disbelieve, or the punishment of hell.
Here we got two very important points. That at times the truth may not prevail over all falsehood, and to the people it might seem that the falsehood is domineering the truth. So whoever thinks that the falsehood will domineer the truth continually and in all time, this person has in his heart an evil assumption about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah has promised for the truth to prevail.
and the truth always prevails. So that, the nature of that victory is one of two types. Sometimes it's prevailed by hujjah, by the evidence. And that always continues. You find always the truth has the hujjah with it, the evidence. And when the other elements of victory are present within the community, the truth will prevail by with force. So if you think that the truth will be defeated at all times, this is a wrongful thinking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also to think that whatever happens, happens due to the will of Allah, that has nothing to do with His wisdom. This is also a wrongful assumption regarding Allah Azza wa Jalla. True, everything that happens on this earth is due to the will of Allah, to the al-Mashi'ah of Allah, but Allah does not decide upon what's going to happen without His wisdom. But the wisdom is related to everything that happens. It's related to every piece of destiny and how the destiny unfolds. And that has to do with the chapter that we'll be discussing concerning the Qadr.
Most people think the word of Allah with regard to what affects them in particular and what He does to others. No one is safe from that except who truly knows Allah and His names and attributes and the necessity of His wisdom and praise.
So three things. You find most people, they have their own assumption towards Allah regarding what's befalling them. Except that those people who know Allah and know His name and know His attributes. So except those people who know Tawheed will be saved from falling into having false assumptions and wrong assumptions regarding Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Let the intellect and the intelligence of the citizen of good advice look closely at themselves in this matter, and let him repent to Allah and beg forgiveness for having harbored the worst thought about His Lord. If you were to look closely at such individuals, you would see in him distress and annoyance as well as his decrees, blaming and finding fault in him, and thinking it should rather be such and such. At this point, some are up to lesser extent and others up to greater. Examine yourself. Are you free from such thoughts? If you are free from it, you have been saved from a great calamity. But if not, I cannot regard you as saved.
Yes. MashaAllah. See the importance of this speech and this teaching. Then you find a lot of people, they are not saved from having oneness truth toward Allah Azza wa Jalla. And they think that Allah is oppressing them. They think that Allah is not doing justice to them. They think that they are deserving more from Allah. They think that they are, Allah is giving other people and they do not deserve to be given. So they always intervene with how Allah runs the tadbir of this universe. Those people are not saved from having the wrong assumption. Therefore, he said in the last statement, فَإِنْ تَنْجُ مِنْهَا تَنْجُ مِنْ ذِي عَظِيمَةٍ وَإِلَّا فَإِنِّي لَا إِخَالُكَ نَاجِيًا. If you are saved from that, you are saved from a very big issue. Otherwise, I don't think you're going to be saved. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from having the wrong assumption, the wrong mistake toward Allah Azza wa Jalla. And I remind you again, part of that wrong mistake to think we're going to receive forgiveness and we're going to go to paradise transit without putting forth any action.
This is what the Jews were thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this wrong creed is the disease of a lot of Muslims. They think simply because we're saying La ilaha illallah, Allah spirit, we don't know what we're saying, we're going to go further. Inshallah, they're going to go further. But are they going to go with or without Muslims? This is a very important issue that we should pay a lot of attention to.
Explanation of the verse. Explanation of the verse in Surah Al-Fajr. Notice that the word explanation of Allah, Surah 1, is of uncounted variety. Only the person who knows himself the true meaning of the names and attributes of Allah is safe from harbor and thought.
Next chapter 60, is the chapter concerning the Qadr. Al-Qadr refers to three ordainments as it refers to faith. The three ordainments is what Allah has decreed to take place. Faith refers to, in our explanation, to how the things unfold in their time. So Allah, with His preordainment, He decreed that you, Abu Jamal, will not be born. When you are actually born, this is the faith. You see the difference? The Muslim has to believe in the Qadr. Believing in the Qadr includes four levels. To believe that Allah knows everything. To believe that Allah knows everything. He said, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمَ بِالشَّاكِرِينَ in Surah Al-An'am. Isn't Allah, He is more knowledgeable about those who are grateful? And He said, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah is also more knowledgeable about those who are oppressors. So Allah knows before He created anyone and before the preordainment, He knows those who are grateful and those who are oppressors. This is the first stage of this knowledge. The second stage is the stage of writing. So Allah wrote in the book of destiny what's going to happen. The third stage of that is the stage of al-Mashiyah. That everything that happens, it happens by the will of Allah. Nothing takes place on this earth or on this dominion against Allah's will. And we have studied that when we're talking about the legislative will and the will to create. And the fourth stage is the stage of creating, creation. And this is the stage where Allah creates the things that will be ordained. So those are the four points that we have to believe in believing in Al-Qadr. A person who does not believe in Al-Qadr, he is a disbeliever. Even if he fasts and he prays and he does everything. People who affiliate themselves with Islam, they differed upon believing in Al-Qadr. Some people are called Al-Jabriya. Al-Jabriya means the atheist, which means to them everything happens on a compulsory fashion. So when we fast, you are forced to do that. When a person fornicates, he was forced to do that. So everybody was forced to do whatever he does. And that they are negating the human being from having any will to do anything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. You're not going to will unless Allah will. That means we will. But the Jabriya, they negated that. And the application of that is, means Allah is very oppressive. This is the application of that statement. If we have no choice in doing what we are doing, why would Allah send all those messengers to go out to do good if we have no choice in doing it? And then, why would Allah take some and put them in the hellfire or put some and put them in paradise? This is the utmost level of oppression. Therefore, there is no doubt that this statement is far from the truth. The other people they say, which are Al-Qadariya, they say that everything that we do does not come under the preordainment of Allah. But we do it independently from Allah's will. So in essence, they are saying every person is the creator of his own actions. And this is also far from the truth. But Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Al-Salafiyya, Al-Athariyya, they say, we do what we do and we have our own will to exercise, but we cannot do anything independent from the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in the fact we have talked about Al-Qadr in detail in the faith classes, in the article of faith. So we're not going to go into detail about in this chapter here because we have talked about it before in detail. So we're going to go and read the hadith inshaAllah. The first hadith, the hadith of Ibn Umar, الذي سيد والذي نفس ابن عمر بيده لو كان لأحدكم مثل أحد ذهبا ثم أنفقه في سبيل الله ما قبله الله منه حتى يؤمن بالقدر. ثم استدل بقول النبي الإيمان أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. That Ibn Ahmad says, by the one whose phone in his hand, none of you will believe, or if to one of you has equivalent to the mountain of Ahad offered in gold and intended for the sake of Allah, Allah will not accept it from him unless he believes in Al-Qadr. And he authenticated his statement by the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he say, Al-Iman, belief, is to believe in Allah, His angels, His book, His messenger, the hereafter and the destiny, the good and the evil. And the explanation of that hadith was discussed in the explanation of the articles of Al-Iman. And we said that the evil is not attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that evil is a description of the action of the creation a description of the action of the creation, and it's not a description of the action of the Creator. You understand that correctly? Now the second hadith, read it for us in English so we can say it down inshaAllah.
It is reported that Ibrahim Summit
Summit.
He said to his son, O son, you'll never get to faith of Iman until and unless you realize that what has afflicted you was not to miss you, what has missed you was not to afflict you. I heard Allah's messenger from Allah by the seventh day, the first thing Allah created was the pen. He ordered it to write. He said, My Lord, what shall I write? He said, Write down the destinies of all things until the establishment of the hour. O my son, I hear Allah's messenger from Allah by the seventh day, saying, The guide to lead me something other than this does not belong to me.
In the translation here, or in the translation, it says the first thing that Allah created was the pen. And this is a translation of one opinion of the meaning of that hadith in Arabic. The other meaning is when Allah created the pen, not the first thing that Allah created the pen, because this is disputed which things that Allah created the first. But we're not going to go into that, but we want you to be aware that another meaning that when Allah created the pen, Allah said to the pen, write everything. So he wrote everything until the day of judgment. That means things that will happen in paradise was not written, because that happened after the day of judgment. You follow? So this is evidence that everything was preordained and everything was written in the book of destiny. And as we are living, those books of destiny unfold. But no one can say, that was my destiny to do this, that was my destiny to steal, that was my destiny to lie, and justify this action by the destiny. This justification is not correct, because our argument to this individual as follows. We say to him, did you know your destiny before you did the action or after you did the action? You must have say after I did the action. Until then you have to go back to the time before you did the action. Did you implement the orders of Allah? Did you try to go after that which of benefit to you? Did you seek the help of Allah in doing so, and you did not fall into laziness? A person will say no. Until then you cannot use the destiny of Allah as an excuse for your actions. Yes, it was disputed upon you to do so, that we know that by now. But that is not an excuse to you, because you did not do what you were ordered to do by the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a person can use the destiny as a justification for his action after he does what he is supposed to do. Just like the hadith saying, قَدَرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. After you took effort to seek that which is good to you, you seek the help and the assistance of Allah, you do not let laziness come into you, and then if things do not come to the way you want to, you can say the qadar of Allah. So you use destiny, the qadar, as a justification in this specific circumstance. Also, if somebody does a sin, and after doing the sin, he repents to Allah Azza wa Jal and straighten off his act. If somebody comes to you and says, you did this and this, so are you going to accuse me for something that Allah has instituted upon me? So you are using the destiny in this case not to justify your sinful behavior, but to justify the fact that that was done. Because repentance erases the sin, as we have explained yesterday in the lesson. But for repentance to erase the sin, it has to be an equal strength as the sin. So if the sin is very major, a small repentance is not going to erase the mark that this sin leaves in the heart. Sins leave different marks in the heart according to their intensity. For us to erase those sins from our heart, we have to use major repentance for us to erase those marks. Because in essence, this repentance is apologizing to Allah, and this apology contains regret. And this apology that contains regret will erase the consequences or the mark or those things in our heart. If a person does so, then another individual tries to belittle that person who doesn't sin in the past, then that was the destiny. So using the destiny in this circumstance is justified. But using the destiny to justify sins and to keep continuing and doing the sins is rejected, because those people do not know that that is their destiny, and they are criminals because they did not obey what Allah told them to do the sin. They did not try to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read the chapter, inshaAllah. No, there's more to this chapter. So we have finished it. Okay, what is the third chapter? Hadith. There's another hadith here where it says, إن أول ما خلق الله تعالى القلم فقال له اكتب فجر في تلك الساعة بما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة. This hadith, I think there is a person that nobody has authenticated this person except Ibn Hibban, and that makes this hadith doubtful, because the reporters who only receive authentication from Ibn Hibban only and nobody else might be weak. And the other hadith also says another narration by Ibn Wahab, Allah's Messenger says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِالْقَدَى خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ أَحْرَقَهُ اللَّهُ فِي النَّارِ. Also from this hadith we take the example, or we take the benefit, that not believing in the Qadr represents a sin that will be worthy of being burnt in the hellfire. And there is another hadith that is contained in this chapter also related to this subject. Can you read it for us?
He said, I want to obey the child of the Almighty, and I said to him, there is something within me regarding his father. Please narrate to me something that perhaps by Allah will take it from my heart. He said, even between gold equal to the weight of building of golden mountain, Allah will not accept it until you believe in his father.
Father.
The father. And know that what has offended you or what has not convinced you and what has made you or not to offend you, and if you die believing something other than this, then you are one of the people of hellfire. I then went to offer Allah and truly for Nathan and the man, and David and Sabbath, but you love Hashim, and they all reported something similar in the prophet from Allah and from you.
This hadith also shows that believing in Al-Qadr is one of the articles of our faith, and a person has to believe in Al-Qadr. Having said that, inshallah, we go through this chapter and we go through the issue.
Explanation of the obligation to believe in Al-Qadr. Explanation of how to believe regarding it.
To believe regarding it by believing that whatever befalls you, you can never avoid it. And whatever did not befall you, it was never going to befall you.
Uselessness of the deed of one who does not believe in it. Now what would be a procedure of the man unless he believes in struggle?
Okay, stop at this point. Number three, it says uselessness of the deed, because it says that some of you will spend equivalent to the mountain of Uhud, yet he does not believe in the Qadr, he is not going to be rewarded. Allah is not going to accept it of him. We're going to stop at this point, inshaAllah, and we continue next time we meet. And if you have any questions, we might answer them at this point.